Bow our heads for an opening prayer. Father in heaven, you are our refuge, and there is no doubt that our lives are held in your hands. We place our trust in you. We feel secure knowing that with your help we will stand. You are the Lord of every season. You are the eternal word of heaven, and yet your presence is here with us right now in this humble worship place. And our prayers are simple. We pray for strength in times of trouble, and we pray with gratitude in times of plenty. We know that you hear our silent prayers. We know that the hunger in our souls can only be filled when we abide with you in the shelter of your care, when we follow where you lead us, and when we listen to your voice. Father, we desire to know your ways. We desire to experience the fellowship of your presence this Sabbath day and every day. We pray for wisdom. We pray for clarity as you lead us where you would have us go. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our example for life. And we pray with the words that he taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Have you ever said the prayer that causes all your problems to be solved? What? Oh, you've never heard that great prayer? Neither have I. But wouldn't it be great if that prayer really existed? Then life would be so easy. Just say the prayer and bingo, the miracles start happening. You get a new job that pays you twice what you're earning now. The nagging medical condition you have just disappears. And your teenage children make the honor roll with hardly even trying. Wouldn't that be great? Sure. Sure, it would be. But I've got news for you. That's not a relationship with God. God doesn't operate that way. I've yet to find a verse in the Bible where God promises to solve all the rough patches in your life. If you just say the right prayer, the right way, at the right time. The truth is often the opposite. When you include Jesus in the troubles of your life, your troubles often get worse. So let me explain with an example. Let's take money, for example, or specifically the lack of money. Add Jesus to the mix, and a whole lot of cash accumulating methods are eliminated. That's right. As a follower of Jesus, you can eliminate stealing, gambling, cheating on taxes, lying. You can eliminate selling illegal goods. Without Jesus in your life, those options might be appealing. But with Jesus, they aren't even considered. God does not condone the easy path. There are many biblical examples of this truth. You may remember the story of Joseph. Now, this is a guy that really got a raw deal. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. Yet he worked hard and he remained faithful to God. And he even resisted the amorous advances of the wife of his boss. And what did he get in return? Prison. And he stayed in prison for a long time. Yet we know the story. He remained faithful, always working hard. And when he was finally released, he was rewarded. But that was only after he spent many years as a slave, ending up in prison with no relief in sight. How about Moses? That's quite the story. From the beginning of his life, with his basket ride down the Nile River, he was a baby bound for destiny. But God didn't step in to stop Moses from killing the Egyptian who was beating a slave. Right? God didn't step in to fix the situation to enable Moses to continue his life as a prince of Egypt in luxury. Instead, Moses fled to the hills. He put in 40 years of shepherding sheep and drinking goat milk out in the middle of nowhere. Moses invested a lot of hard work and faithful living before his fateful showdown with the Pharaoh. And after all the supernatural plagues, after leading the Israelite people out of Egypt and parting of the Red Sea, did Moses get to set his life in cruise control until he went to heaven? That didn't happen. Instead, he was assigned 40 more years leading people around circles in a desert. He only got a glimpse of the promised land. Sorry to disappoint those of you who have been misled to believe that God is some kind of cosmic bellboy waiting to serve you when you feel the need to ask for help. Your wish is not God's command. That's not how God works. If you are part of this group who expect God's miraculous response whenever you send up a request, then you are likely to feel disappointment, frustration, and discouragement with God. Here's the problem. Disappointment with God's response indicates that you don't turn to God simply to be with God. I'm speaking from the heart. You turn to God looking for a payout. You send up prayers like putting quarters in a slot machine. People in this group flip through Scripture looking for proof that God will step in and make their lives easy. But God doesn't work that way. God is very much worth knowing intimately that is so true. So let's read how Jesus framed it for his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. According to Jesus, you will have trouble. According to Jesus, you can have peace. Our peace is to be in him, not in miracles, not in answered prayer, and not in optimal circumstances. This is the real miracle that Jesus was talking about. When we have trouble, and everyone will have trouble, Jesus can soothe your fears. Jesus can transform your anxiety into a deep sense of peace. This is the real miracle. Now, I know it can be easy to develop the wrong attitude and start expecting God to wave his arm and magically turn your life into an easy ride instead of the roller coaster that it is. When that attitude crops up in you, it's good to remember that God wants more. God loves us so much that he holds out for more. God wants us to remember that we come to him for him. He wants us to remain with him for him. The words of the weeping prophet Jeremiah tells us what our attitude should be. And he wrote this sometime during the Babylonian exile. He wrote, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Powerful stuff. For me personally, I want to walk in the way of God, in the way of the God of this universe. I want to be more like him. I don't look for easy, because my life is not meant to be about easy. Rather, life is meant to be about Jesus. Now, I'm going to elaborate a little bit more. I won't share the details, but there have been elements of unhappiness, disappointment, and frustration, and pain in my life. And God did not make any of it go away. I prayed, I obeyed, I worshiped, I served, I praised, I believed, and I asked for the Holy Spirit's wisdom to guide me. I paid my dues, and I stood on the promises. But still the pain, the disappointment, the frustration, the unhappiness remained. But at the same time, I admit, there were also many, many blessings in my life. My wife and I were blessed with a healthy son when we had no expectation of ever having any children. I had employment that enabled me to pay all the bills and live comfortably. I had opportunities to help other people. Yes, I was blessed. And yes, I am still blessed. And through it all, I picked up on a false belief that is often told by well-meaning Christians. And the lie is this: if you follow Jesus, make good choices, work hard, and obey the commandments, and do what is right, then everything will turn out fine in your life, and you'll be happy. Where did that belief come from? It's not biblical truth. Look at any believer in the Bible. Look at any believer in any century that came before us. You'll see that life comes with trouble. The false expectation that God will fix all your problems, if you just say the right prayer the right way, makes us all susceptible to the whispers of the evil one when trouble comes. And trouble will always come. don't listen to Satan's lies. Instead, listen to God's word that reminds each of us that we will likely suffer and experience seasons of pain until the day we die. And it's not that we brought it upon ourselves, although sometimes that does happen. It's not because we're not smart enough, and it's not because God's angry with us and he rejects us. Suffering and pain happen because we're human and we're alive. It's just the way of this world. And this truth has been known by believers for centuries. And today, as followers of Jesus, we should understand this truth. And we should catch joy and celebrate in the moments of life that are rich and fulfilling, because trouble will come. Usually trouble's not very far away. And when trouble comes, it's okay if you're not happy. That's okay. This understanding that trouble comes should make your conversations with God a lot less about asking him to change things, to heal this, or to escape some problem. Instead, your conversations should be more about looking to find God's direction in your life, in your situation, or about seeking wisdom to make a good decision. Ask for strength to endure. Ask for guidance to enable you to be more like Jesus and to build your relationship with him. Okay. All this talk about expectations begs for some consideration of what we should be doing, doesn't it? If you think about it, most of us only attempt to do the possible. This is an American problem. We have the impression that we need to find a task that we can accomplish. But life doesn't normally work that way. Stay with me. The greatest things that you can do in your life are impossible to finish. That's so true. Truly great things that are worth doing wear us out and make us weep and ask Almighty God for strength to continue. When we die, when these tasks that are worth doing remain unfinished, and it's up to the next generation to pick up where we stopped and carry on. And they in turn will have no hope of completion, but rather they'll have the hope of doing what Jesus would have them to do. So I have some examples of tasks that are impossible to finish. Task number one. This is a task that's impossible to finish. Raising children. Being a role model for children. For delightful children. For damaged children. Not just your own children, but everybody's children, because children are always with us. This task will never end, raising children. And saving children is another impossible task that is expanding greatly in our evil world. Children are being exploited. Children are missing. Children are being trafficked. This is an impossible task that will never be finished. How about this next task? Serving the poor. Now, here's a task that's impossible to finish. We serve the deserving poor. We serve the entitled poor. The poor in spirit. The poor down the street and the poor on the other side of the world. How about the impossible task of defending the weak? Those who are oppressed by the powerful or exploited by those who are corrupt and heartless, or those who are weakened by addiction or by lack of spirituality, a.k.a. unbelief. This next one is so true. This will never be unfinished, this task of making disciples. We make disciples in our homes, in our communities, at our work sites, across the world. We do it with our words and our deeds, and it's a task that will never end. Another task, speaking truth. We speak truth to our loved ones, to our enemies. We speak truth over coffee, to the oppressed, to the powerful. We speak up. We need to speak out, regardless of whether someone is listening to us. Even when no one changes, we speak up anyway. And the list would not be complete without this next one. This unfinished task will never be completed, touching other people's pain. In hospitals, in funeral homes, orphanages, in homeless shelters, in bedrooms, at the dinner table, wherever there's pain, we need to be about the task of touching that pain. Jesus calls you to do the impossible every day, even when you know your best efforts will not make a humanly measurable difference, even when your efforts seem to be just a drop in the bucket. Jesus calls you to do the impossible, even when you talk to your neighbor over and over and over. And you know who I mean, the guy who seems incapable of overcoming his addiction. Jesus calls you to do the impossible when you've only had one opportunity to share the gospel with a friend who has rejected the name of Jesus and won't even consider becoming a believer. Jesus calls you to do the impossible even when your faith is ridiculed by an atheist who finds your words offensive. Here's the thing. This is really getting down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus calls us to do the impossible every day because we're not actually called to accomplish something. We are called to be something. We're called to be broken, faithful, devoted, enduring, patient, loving, sacrificing, joyful in affliction, and given over to Messiah Jesus and to serving others in need. I think King David really understood this. He wrote, "Trust in the Lord, do good, delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him." We are called to be something. And what is that something? We are called to be followers of Jesus. And the earliest believers spread this truth throughout the Roman Empire, far and wide, and many of them died not long after choosing to follow Jesus, as they faced lions in the arenas to satisfy the anger of those people who hated them because of their faith. What impossibilities lie before you today? Where has Jesus called you to be faithful, to press on despite the extremely low chance that you will feel accomplished, or the very small likelihood others will see your efforts as worthwhile? If your life is all about the tasks you can accomplish, then just maybe you're missing the point. The point is Jesus and His call for us to follow Him in this world so that others can see Him through you. And take heart if you're doing something that seems endless, hopeless, but you know you are called to be someone who does it. You're not alone, Because God is with you, and your love and faithfulness will rise up like a sweet aroma to heaven's throne as you continue to do the impossible every day until you're no longer able or until Jesus comes again. Amen. Hallelujah.